greed, sloth, gluttony, lust, envy, anger, and pride.
Writer Dan Savage spent a year and a half exploring the seven deadly sins. He wrote a book called Skipping Toward Gomorrah. It's partly a political diatribe attacking conservatives such as former Supreme Court nominee Robert Bork. Savage's book title plays off of Bork's book, Slouching Toward Gomorrah, which in turn plays off the title of a Joan Didion book, which plays off a line by Yeats, and so forth. But beyond the political and literary intrigue, what intrigued us was that Savage spent all that time with sinners. Savage points out that these seven sins are not mentioned in the Bible.
It was actually the church fathers in the early medieval period sort of drafted these things in the Dark Ages. What I think is so interesting about it, why I think they came up with this list, is because if you look at the Ten Commandments, basically, you can get away with everything except murder. And hew pretty closely to the Ten Commandments. Don't dishonor your parents. Don't kill anybody. Don't covet your neighbor's ass. But it sort of left a lot of latitude. Whereas with the seven deadly sins, they're so vague that there really isn't anything a human being does that can't fall into one of those seven categories. Anger, envy, pride, lust, gluttony, sloth, greed. Just everything we do is potentially sinful. And that's why I think it appealed to the Catholic Church so much. By choosing the seven deadly sins, I got to choose one big representative sin for each of the seven deadly sins and go out and have a little fun.
Why did you want to look into them?
I wanted to come to the defense of the American sinner because I was sick of listening to people like Robert Bork and William Bennett talk about Americans and divide us up into good, real Americans, that's their preferred phrase, who live like they do, and the rest of us. And I wanted to defend the pursuit of happiness as a concept. You know, the pursuit of happiness doesn't have an asterisk after it in the Declaration of Independence. It's sort of up to each and every one of us as an individual, and that's never defended. The big divide between the virtuous and the sinful, quote-unquote sinful in America, is that the virtuous are trying to make their virtues compulsory, and the sinners are not trying to make their sins compulsory. The big difference between the church and the strip club is that the strip club is not trying to shut the church down, but the church is trying to shut the strip club down. That's the thing that I have a problem with.
So there's a contest of democratic ideas here. There's a battle going on, in a sense. You feel like your side needs some defending, and you feel like you're going to win public opinion over to your side by writing a book about homosexuality and swinging and overeating and shooting firearms and everything else.
I feel like I'm going to put a little steel into the spine of the sinners so that they'll speak up for themselves and defend themselves.
You talk about people who commit their sins in private. Talk to me a little bit, if you can, about the couple that you featured in your chapter on lust.
For lust, I chose adultery. For adultery, I chose swinging. And I met this couple. I went to Vegas to the Lifestyles 2001 convention in August, where there were 3,000 heterosexual couples in the hotel committing adultery all weekend.
Wait, the Lifestyles 2001 convention in August. What is that?
Heterosexual swinging is not just this thing that happens by accident in the suburbs where one couple bumps into another couple and they, you know, retire to the rec room. Heterosexual swinging is an organized movement of non-monogamous heterosexual couples, and the Lifestyles organization is basically, you know, the official ruling governing body of organized swinging. And every year they have a big convention in Vegas where all these couples get together and swap partners.
So what was the swingers convention like?
It was weird. It's a lot of, you go to this hotel and it's full of people who are all married couples and very close. As I write about the book, I met this couple, David and Bridget, who are very observant Jews who live in the suburbs of the north side of Chicago. They're incredibly religious, active in their synagogue. They have three boys who are, you know, very well behaved and very well cared for, who are all getting ready for their bar mitzvah, and they occasionally commit adultery.
You went to their house and spoke with these folks. This is a married couple with kids.
I went to dinner at their house, and we weren't planning on talking about their sex lives, and their kids went down to watch a movie on the VCR. They were encouraged to go watch movies so that we could talk, and we ended up having this interesting whispered conversation about their sex lives because they are closeted about being swingers with their children.
If we get past the political dimension of this for a second, in that these folks are swingers and you would like to defend their right to be swingers if they want to be so, did you give any thought or a lot of thought to the question of why they behave in this way?
Why people are swingers?
Well, yeah, that particular sin or any of these other sins, what it is that drives people to it and whether we should even worry about that.
We should worry about it to the extent that we should encourage people to be ethical sinners. And if the conversation in the country is only, if you're a sinner, you're unethical in every way, that's not helpful because people are going to engage in activities that are risky or naughty. And we should encourage people to be ethical sinners when they're going to do quote-unquote sinful things. I use sin and then sinners, and I sort of am using it in quotes and italics because I don't think they're sinning. But, you know, they are committing adultery. Technically a sin.
Technically. another sin that you investigated was anger. You went to a shooting range.
I went to learn how to shoot guns in Texas because as an urban lefty, I grew up in Chicago, I've never held a gun in my hand. I'm very pro-gun control, very anti-NRA. And I thought I would extend the same courtesy to the right about guns that I would like extended to the left about drugs.
You'll try it.
I'll try it and see if there's something there. And so I went to Plano, Texas, and went to a gun range called the Bullet Trap, and rented a whole bunch of handguns. It's so strange. You can go into this place, give them some money, and they hand you a gun. And I got a gun instructor, and we went on the range, and lo and behold, I'm a natural shot. They put a big target up at the end of the gun range, and I shot the X out of it, and this big gun instructor, good old boy, slaps me on the back and says, "You're a natural," which is not something guys like me get called in Texas very often. And I was really good at it. And I was like, oh, there is pleasure. There is something that makes you happy about shooting a gun.
I hesitate to ask this, but what else did you try in the course of this book that you thought you'd never try?
Gambling. Gambling was another sin that I'd never really, or greed. Gambling, another sin I'd never really committed. Because, you know, you go to Caesar's Palace, it's not Caesar's lean-to or Caesar's double-wide. They're obviously, like, people who go in there don't leave with their money, otherwise it wouldn't be a palace.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite understand what was up with that, like why people gamble. But I learned to gamble and found even the pleasure in losing money, which is what I write about.
What'd you like?
The thing about losing money in a casino, what you're making the bet for, because you know that you're going to lose the money, is not knowing what's going to happen next is what you gamble for. You make a bet and the cards are going to come and you're having a cliffhanger. And in our lives as Americans, we consume cliffhangers all the time. We watch TV and we watch movies where these people that we are sort of identifying with and encouraged to identify with are constantly making life and death decisions and cliffhangers and constantly in peril. In our regular lives, we don't have that. And I think it's no coincidence that after 9/11, the first thing that happened was every casino in America emptied out, because just leaving the house felt like a cliffhanger. Going to work and getting on an airplane felt like a cliffhanger. You didn't have to go to a casino for it. And as soon as the war on terrorism became another show we were watching on TV that was much more exciting than our daily lives, the casinos filled back up.
So you're not actually advocating living in Gomorrah. You're advocating dropping by.
We all live in Gomorrah and Jerusalem at the same time. The beauty and genius of the United States is you get to choose. Whatever, you know, here we are in D.C., and I can go to church. There's 1,000 churches in the city, or I can go to a strip club. I can live in Gomorrah or God's country or both, and they're not mutually exclusive experiences.
Well, just it is interesting, as you go to the extremes of some of these sins, you do find a sort of people are extremely committed to that particular sin, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, people are, you know, and I think it's fine to be committed to a sin, but you have to accept responsibility for whatever negative consequences that sin might bring. And I say that in the book about even being gay, which bothers some gay people. You know, being gay brings certain greater health risks than being straight, and that's just a fact.
Sounding a little like Bill Bennett here.
Sounding a little like Bill Bennett. I don't think that, you know, I've been attacked by a couple of far lefties because I don't really defend sin in a way, because I come up very strongly in favor of restraint and moderation, because I don't think common sense is a conservative plot. And the longer you're alive, if you engage in the sins you enjoy with some common sense, you'll live longer, the more opportunities you'll have to actually engage in those sins.
Dan Savage is the author of Skipping Toward Gomorrah, a book about the seven deadly sins. Mr. Savage, thanks very much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.